Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
The podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk. /thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
So is Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Apologies to Levi Solicitors for the language that is likely to follow, but wasn't that fucking dreadful?
Was it as good as that? Who played well?
Crawley.
Yes. Correct answer.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Lads, that's woeful, wasn't it? It was just woeful from start to finish.
First half was all right.
Was it?
Even?
Oh, we stayed in the game in the first half. That was the important bit.
I did have a slight sense of foreboding when they cut to the highlights from the other games at halftime, and it so showed Chelsea just sticking a couple past two. Were they playing? Was it Morecambe and City were, 3-0 up against Birmingham or someone? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, everyone else is just cruising. If I hadn't seen those goals going in, I probably would have been perfectly happy with 0-0 at halftime at Crawley, because I would have said, well, we're not losing. It could be worse. Steady away. You have that kind of first half in this kind of FA Cup match, gets half down, then we'll just kick on in the second half and win it. But seeing how well everybody else was doing did worry me.
It's not how you do it either. Like, we've seen Villa and Derby go out and getting fairly well beaten by, Liverpool have quite a decent side, but, getting battering Aston Villa more or less. But they're doing it against children. If we didn't drop enough players today, that's what I'm saying. If we'd have played Casey and Jenkins from the start and just said, look, this is a reserve side backed up by Kiko Kassia, then I think people have to accept that losing 3-0 is a fair result there. But to do it with a half a decent side.
What's happened, seriously? Can you pull apart that performance for me? Because I'm struggling to make sense of it, because we made them look like world beaters, but they weren't. They were just a perfunctory League Two side who were in decent form. We were awful.
Maybe it says something about the other half that didn't play. That when it comes to leadership and what actually gets our team going, that it's Click and it's Dallas and it's Ayling rather than Cooper and Phillips and Hernandez. Because if you're talking about, it's the modern phrase now, isn't it? The leadership group, they would all be in it together. But you would hope for a slightly more competent or energetic or at least interested performance inspired by players like that. So I wonder if we'd played the other three instead of them three as our experienced spine, whether it might have been a different thing. But that's the kind of the Bradley Johnson theory of players not in the team look better. But I am interested, how that kind happens with those players.
Are we that fragile? Because that was pathetic. And you can't take a few senior players out and expect us to be that shit, because we were shit.
And some fairly senior players who did play, like Costa.
What's the point?
Awful.
It's dead easy and to fire pelters at Costa and Kiko Kassia. But actually, I don't want to, but on the evidence of that, what else can you do? Because Costa does not look like a Premier League footballer. I don't know what goes through his brain sometimes. His decision-making's awful. And Kiko Kassia just needs to fuck off now. Just go away.
It should really be the end of the Kiko debate.
It is now, isn't it, really? We've got no more cup games.
I think it was over. I think the debate was pretty much over anyway, other than...
Well, no, it wasn't. There were people suggesting, even in this game that on Twitter, that Kiko Kassia should replace Meslier. And in the week leading up to this, that he should be given another go because Meslier's made a few mistakes. No, he shouldn't. He's shit.
It's because of that first half save, which was very good, that one from the corner. There was, if you looked online, you could see enough people replying to tweets about that, saying, oh, that shows, maybe you should come in for Meslier. That's the kind of quality we need in goal. And I did see one Just a bizarre suggestion. Somebody said that his experience would help our defence, and maybe, you know, that would be an advantage over Melier. And that did make me think whether that person had like kind of had their mind of their memories of the start of last season and the end of the one before wiped. But in case anybody did need a reminder, Garcia did do plenty in the second half. Although we were saying that I'm sure we're going to talk about the commentary later, but Jonathan Pearce and Martin Keown's insistence that his confidence had gone, despite him not having touched the ball for about 5 minutes before they said that, you can see, yeah, that's him. And then blaming him for the third goal, whatever.
It was a decent enough save, wasn't it?
He blocked
from
the ball.
Close range.
It can go anywhere. I don't think he was particularly directing the ball. I don't think any goalkeeper necessarily would have. The goal that he was at fault for is enough, is what I'm saying, on top of everything else he's ever done in his entire Leeds career.
But we spotted it in the first half, didn't we, that they weren't passing to him?
Yeah, there was one where it was a ball over the top and Cooper having sort of PTSD flashbacks of Kiko Kassir running out. You could see he had a look and thought, I could nudge this one back to him.
Well, do you know what?
It's just going in the stand.
Well, it's those split seconds in which professional footballers make decisions, don't they? And it's all that's what training's all about, and that sort of the deep-seated learning that you do of repeating things, actions, patterns. And in that split second, his brain went, "Now fuck that."
Yeah, ball would have gone to Melier.
Yes.
You know, it would have been a pass back to Melier.
I mean, Melier may have passed it to their centre-forward, but that's a discussion for a different
day. And he's right to be nervous about it, because in the second half, Casey, I think, had a bad touch on it, didn't he, when Kiko was completely stranded on the edge of his box. But if he's confident Casey's dealing with it, he shouldn't be in that position in the
there?
First place.
Yeah, why was he there?
If he's comfortable Casey's dealing with it, he should be back in his goal. Or if he's dealing with it, he needs to come and actually deal with it. It was the same as he did against Derby, where it was a no man's land thing between him and Cooper, of both people being in bad positions for it and somehow both of them simultaneously fucking up. And how they didn't score another from it, I'm not particularly sure.
Phil used the phrase busted flush with regards to Kassir on the Phil Hay show this last week. And I think that's pretty much confirmed now. He's done.
You might as well. I know we'll have to pay him off. He's got a huge contract for another 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to end up paying at least half of that, but just pay it. Just let him go. It's not good for him being here either. Not that I particularly feel any great sympathy to him, but just let him go. What is the point?
And do it now in January,
yeah, exactly,
when we can do something about it.
We're hoping that any club has not seen that game.
But football's mental, Moscow. Look at how many times Mark Hughes has been employed to do stuff, and Steve Bruce keeps getting jobs on the basis.
Are you suggesting he's going to be a manager?
Someone signed Felix Wiedwald. Look at it that way.
He's doing all right this season.
There's always somebody.
Getting back.
Got his game back, yeah.
But the problems today run deeper than that, and we have to be honest and upfront about this and say Bielsa got it completely wrong. I know there were certain things that he opted to do. For example, we know that Liam Cooper was never going to play more than 45 minutes. So that was a substitution that was always going to happen. But still, it just completely collapsed, didn't it, with the halftime subs?
You just made me think, I forgot that you went off at halftime. When I was saying before about the leadership from some players, I completely neglected to factor in that he wasn't there for the second half, just before anybody picks me up on how wrong I was about that. But the other part of it kind of does stand, that you would hope there was enough out there to kind of absorb it. But when you were saying about the kind of the training and the practice and everything being sort of second nature, I think we did just get pulled too far in a direction away from what we would normally be prepared for. The second goal, I think also maybe not the third one, but the second one is kind of Oliver Casey making a mistake further up the pitch. And, you know, so he's a young player who is going to make who's going to make mistakes in games, and there not being enough to cover it. And then, more generally thinking about Jackie Harrison as a striker, you know, it's fine in an emergency. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I was kind of interested to see how it would happen. But when you're looking to get that rhythm back and get back to what you normally do in games, and you've got players so far out of position in so many different places, it's like a tearing off bits of a sheet one by one until you realise there's nothing left. Maybe death by a thousand cuts is another phrase for it. Just lots of little changes that ends up with, actually, you fucked the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was halftime, we were comfortable-ish without creating anything. But, I mean, it says a lot that I've not been betting against this season. But when I saw those halftime subs coming on, I was like, don't like the look of this, because it was not a game we were in control of. You can bring those subs on if you're 3-0 up and cruising, but we weren't. And I think this season has maybe highlighted the fact that the under-23s is a very, very different standard to any other league football, because we've seen in going to Blackpool in the Papa John's, whatever it's called, and getting turned over there with players that we think are probably good enough to play in the first team, and actually you realise they're a bit of a way off.
The whole League Cup defeat is probably a better comparison, and that's kind of what I had in mind when I was thinking about the players on the pitch, because that was a very similar lineup where there's a lot of young players but enough senior players that should have been able to get us through it. And that's what kind of put me in mind of thinking of, well, why aren't they sort of sorting this out? Why aren't the players that we do know are good, why weren't they enough to see us through to the end of this? And I don't know, maybe it is just that we have to sell them all. I'm joking, obviously. But I'm deadly serious about getting Eddie Gray in. Not playing the kids, though, because we've established that they're rubbish. You'll just have to make do with
some
the old
different
men.
Kids.
Some reality TV stars.
I mean, that Christ, that's just an insult to injury, isn't it? For a fucking towie. Go away. Rodrigo up front. I mean, he didn't pull up any trees that first half, but do you think it was wrong to take him off at halftime?
Yes.
Why?
Because we lost.
And because we took him off, it was another... He was one person who was playing in his proper position, and then to bring him off for Harrison, who was briefly up front, and then it was obviously changed again with Greenwood coming on. It just felt like it was daft to not give him that game time. Obviously, we don't know if he could have been carrying a knock, or whether or not Bielsa was desperate to keep him fit, or whether he'd seen enough, or whether he was just so disgusted with him for not scoring that he wanted to get him off and show him who was boss. But I didn't think he was brilliant, but I'd have kept him on, personally.
It did feel, and it'll be interesting to... I'm sure Bielsa will say, Cooper was always planned for the first half, apparently, and then I think because Phillips is suspended for the Brighton game, Stroik has had a bit of practice in that position, and then he's off to make sure nothing happens to him, so he's fit for that match. And then I wonder if it's the same with Rodrigo. He's an important first-team player, so gets a half, which should be enough, and then Harrison comes on. So they're kind of sharing the duties between two first-team players.
It's funny, isn't it? Because Bielsa spoke in the build-up to this about how important the lower league clubs are and how important the FA Cup is in terms of, you know, nutrients for the pyramid and all that jazz that he was on about. And yet it felt that he did treat this a little bit too much like a training exercise. And yeah, the problem maybe with Bielsa's system is that, you know, you talk about control as a word you mentioned before, Moscow, that we play in such a robotic fashion, as Scott Parker would tell you, but in such a way that, so it is quite scripted and, you know, very recognisable when you see it happen, that when we don't get a chance to play as we like to play and teams learn how to imbalance us and disrupt us, it falls apart very quickly, doesn't it?
Take your bladigan off, Scotty Parker.
But it's true,
scripted,
though, isn't it?
Scripted robotic.
But there's truth. Oh, but listen, we can get in an arse about Scott Parker saying it, because it's not his place to say it, but it is our place to say it.
There's there's something about the rhythm, but the under-23s do and down do all train in the same way. I think that team should have won. That's the thing about it, is you can't see that team that started, and even the second half, it wasn't so weak that we shouldn't have won the match. And going back to that whole game, I've just looked up the lineup. It was basically almost the same, but with a couple of slight differences of personnel. It was Kiko in net, Shackleton right back, Douglas left back. It was Creswell and Casey, very good
Casey
Davis.
Casey was playing the Phillips role in that game.
Yeah, and very good Davis was the centre back. Then it's Bogus, Pervada, Roberts, Alioski, Rodrigo. So you make a couple of changes in there where it's like it's Costa for Roberts and it's Cooper for Davis, and those little tweaks, and no Bogus. So we had Hernandez instead, who should have been improving things. But it is that's what's making me think with those two matches. And it's a very similar performance to the whole one where it was just, you never really felt that we got going. It was listless. It didn't have the energy. It didn't have the invention. It was just like things weren't working out. That does make me wonder, is it that players like Dallas, Ayling, Click are the important ones? And if we'd had them in the team instead of Cooper, Phillips and Hernandez as the kind of the three that you're risking at the level, whether that would have been a difference. I don't know. It's just a thought that's kind of bugging me a little bit of, like, maybe those are the ones, and that'll be, maybe that underlines why we've rested them, not even had them on the benches, because they are that important to the way that we play, that we need them in the Premier League.
It didn't feel like we had any running in us today. That normally we're used to people picking the ball up and running through midfield, whether it's centre-backs, full-backs or midfielders doing it. But no one at any point today felt like, normally you see Ayling do it a few times a game and Dallas will do it where he'll just pick it up and think, right, I'm off, I'm going to do something here by myself. And he just sets off and there's a 1-2 with Click in there and we get an overload on one side. And it just never happened today. I don't know if it's because people like Strike are maybe not quite as dynamic as some of our other midfielders, or
Scroy was doing all right. I didn't have any, like I say, we got to half time and I wasn't too concerned about anything in particular. It hadn't jazzed me up, but it was looking fine for a dour cup match. There wasn't a lot of space. I mean, Crawley, we do have to acknowledge that there was another team on the pitch.
And they were very good, weren't they?
They were compact, they were tight. Martin Keown, absolutely, it sort of summed him up, the way he kept banging on about kind of Leeds fancy pants football, and then just I'm sure you could hear him getting an erection when they got an offside call. Lovely line was the words. He's like, that's a great line from Crawley. Like nothing could make him more happy than a good old fashioned George Graham flat back four put with their arms in the air catching off side these expansive football, so-called expansive footballers. But they were very good at that. I mean, discipline, game discipline, not just like tackling, but actually sticking to your jobs and doing them does get you a certain part of the way. And you don't, yeah, I don't know if there's a factor of how often our players come up against a team like that that is just going to stick rigidly. It's like, did you ever see, I suppose a fussball table is more like it, but I always remember the Tomy grandstand game that had little players in grooves that moved backwards and forwards in a certain line. And it's very much like that from Crawley, where they're just, everybody's just sticking to the jobs. Right back goes from penalty area to the halfway line and just defends that space back and forwards and trying to find them. It's very different to what they play against in the Premier League, where even the bad teams are swapping position. Maybe not Sheffield. Well, even Sheffield United, who are fucking bottom of the league, play with underlapping centre-backs, don't they? And there was absolutely nothing like that to expose in Crawley's team. It is just a solid bunch being solid and bunching.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Going to put the Jonathan Pearce, Martin Keown stopped clock theory to the test now and ask you, do you agree with the assertion that maybe Bielsa overthinks stuff sometimes?
Smoke and mirrors, or...
I think those thick bastards underthink. That's what I think. Fucking I've always hated Jonathan
careful,
Pearce.
No, careful. We're going to have Jake Humphrey, 10-minute monologue.
Well, I said this to you during the game. Jonathan Pearce, when he started on that about...
Can I just say, by the way, I'm enjoying now how we're just completely deflecting away from the performance and just playing for the commentators
now.
Yeah,
let's just lash into the pun.
Why not?
The commentary. But Pearce, and they said it a couple of times about Bielsa not being straight about the team that he picks and the formation, and Pierce using the term smoke and mirrors as if, and what had happened was we'd made those changes at half time and they couldn't work out if we'd gone to a flat back four or if we were sticking with three central defenders. And they said, oh, they started with four at the back, and that, oh, now there's three there. And but he does this, doesn't he, Bielsa? It's smoke and mirrors. He pretends and tries to keep people guessing about his formations. No, you just can't tell the fucking difference between somebody walking out of defence into midfield for a minute, adapting to the situation of the game, and then moving back. You just can't read a fucking football match because you're too busy going, oh, yes, Jake Hessenthaler, his father, a fine player, wasn't he? And, oh, and he's very proud of his son, as if any fucking father isn't. Most banal fucking comment ever. But
he's ashamed of him for not being in the Premier League. Told me himself.
And then in the same moment, you had Keown talking about he was complaining all game about Calvin Phillips playing as a third centre back, and to use the phrasing, Bielsa being hell bent on playing him there, which is nothing. But that bit, the smoke and mirrors thing, and basically saying Bielsa lies about what he is putting on the pitch and what formation he'll play, when nothing could be further from the truth. We know that. I think that's, I mean, we don't want to drag up the Carney thing over and over again.
You're a thick slag, Keown.
If we're talking about,
back to fucking Robot Wars, Pierce.
We need to get men out of football commentary if they're going to come out with shit like this. But if we're talking, I mean, that kicked off and
you
escalated.
Daft bint.
That kicked off Keown. And escalated because it was all disrespect. It was about Carney being disrespectful. You cannot get much more disrespectful than saying that Marcelo Bielsa, who will name his team just so that you, because he doesn't care, he never disguises a formation. His whole thing about Spygate was that information is free. When he was in Argentina, he posted a box of video cassettes of Newell's Old Boys to another team's manager because they didn't have access to the same video facilities as him. The other manager didn't even fucking want them, but he wanted to make sure he had all the information to prepare for the game. And Jason Pierce is sitting there on BBC One.
Jason Pierce.
What's he fucking called? Jonathan Pierce.
His dad.
His proud dad. Father. Jonathan Pierce. He's sitting there on BBC One, basically calling Bielsa a liar. So where's the tweet about that?
Hey, but at least Marcelo Bielsa in the post-match will be able to say concentrating on the league in Spanish and not English.
Make it sound a lot better.
We quite wanted to win the FA Cup this year, didn't we? I think we'd decided.
He has actually said that the result generates a lot of sadness and disappointment for us.
It does.
He's not wrong. He got it wrong today, didn't he? We have to say that he did.
Not as wrong as Jonathan Pearce and Martin Keown have got their entire lives wrong.
I mean, seriously though, we'll always go into bat for Marcelo Bielsa because he's in, you know, eternal amounts of credit for Leeds United, but he got it wrong today.
They are just, to round off on those two, we did get those to the point where they were talking about what a shocking game Casillas had, and his confidence has looked terrible all day, and he's had an awful afternoon, as if the good save in the first half never happened. They drove me to the point where I was defending a goalkeeper that I wish had never played for Leeds United in the first place. That's how I've got a long-standing hatred of Jonathan Pearce's commentary because it's all just irrelevant bollocks. It's like he has a sheet of notes and he just reads from the top about all the trivia that you're not interested in. And I've mentioned this before. It was the World Cup when there was a shot from a German player against England. He said, oh, what a shot, just tipped over the bar from the former German under-21 international who scored four goals at the European Championships or whatever. And I still, two replays later, had no idea who this footballer was because he wouldn't say his fucking name.
Not a fan, then?
No. Not in the least.
Let's talk about the game, then. And, I mean, is there anything we can take out of that complete shit show today at all? We had a subway at half-time. That was quite nice.
Pervada did a couple of all right things in the first half.
Pervada was fine. And again, Pierce and Keown thought he was shit. So that just tells you how good he was.
Well, they were pretending he was shit in the second half, but they'd spent half-time saying how good he was in this BBC studio. So they'd obviously not been watching that.
But he did. I thought he looked fine. Pervada I think he's just one of those players that kind of exists in his own head and plays his own game. He wasn't worried about who he's up against.
I think I was most let down by the senior players today. I thought that I expected more of Rodrigo and Hernandez and Alioski and Costa, I think.
But I mean, Alioski's always got that brainless pass in him, hasn't he? So when it starts to happen with most balls that he plays and then everybody else around him is doing the same, it comes as no surprise, does it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not singling him out for any particular solo criticism. I just meant it was emblematic of the whole thing when everybody was doing it.
Yeah, if you're Jack Jenkins and you're coming on for your debut and you're looking at Pablo Hernandez misplacing passes, it's awkward. I would say that 15 minutes after half time where we'd made those changes were probably the crucial bit, because I think the first thing, and not to pick on young players at all, but I think one of the first things Jenkins did when he came on, there was like two misplaced passes, because he's trying to get used to it. He'll be nervous and all that will play into it. But that did mean it's kind of the, it unbalanced us, to use a phrase from Bielsa. And the same with Casey. I'd like to see, I can't vividly remember at the moment the goals, but there was a, certainly the second one that was him giving the ball away up the pitch. And that's, it's in that spell that came so quickly within 10 minutes of half time that I think the changes might have been fine, but we didn't get through that spell when everything kind of needed to calm down, when Jack Jenkins needs to make five good passes and get them all right so he can just be like, right, yeah, I'm in this. And Casey never got that opportunity of making, you know, two good tackles and two good clearances when he said, right, I'm in the game now and it's all fine. Everything, by that point, we're 2-0 down. And yeah. You don't want to be, nobody wants to be on that pitch 2-0 down to Crawley.
Sorry, I was going to say that, I guess, is the inherent problem with Marcelo Bielsa. And I say that with completely open-heartedness towards him and lots, you know, eternal love to the man.
Just slag him off today.
I don't want to.
He can stand it.
No, but, you know, because he is very fixed in his ideas about how football should be played. And sometimes it doesn't always mirror the real world situation that you see in front of us, does it? You know, that psychology of understanding that Jenkins needs to just see through that spell wasn't perhaps at the forefront of his mind, when actually it was like, okay, we will do this. We'll make this change. We'll put this player in this position regardless. And he should be fine enough to cope. But actually, sometimes you need to, I don't know, be a bit more savvy than that. And this is me requesting that Marcelo Bielsa be more savvy, but I'm a fucking idiot, you know.
Jenkins did have, you know, Calvin Phillips behind him and Pablo Hernandez in front of him. So you are kind of putting him in a position where there are players to help him out.
Although another way of looking at it is that he had Ollie Casey behind him and Sam Greenwood in front of him.
Yep. I've mentioned a couple of times that Casey mistake for the second one, but it shouldn't have been a goal, because there should have been a goalkeeper back. Well, there was a goalkeeper back there, you know, a Spanish.
He's conceded that goal loads of times.
He's not an international,
hasn't
he? Is he?
But, yeah. No, you're right.
A Champions League winner, as they kept saying.
I think that's the same goal he conceded at Forest and at home to Sheffield Wednesday last year. That same near post, kick it straight at him. Goes in.
Quite apart from the racism angle that has, you know, put such a cloud over Kiko Casilla as a general concept, he's just not a very good goalkeeper, is he?
He
makes mistakes every time he plays. Every game last season, he would do something wrong, and sometimes he'd get away with it. Which I know Meslier has got away with stuff this year, but he wouldn't generally do enough good stuff to offset that. Like, there was one good save in this, but then there was one goal that was definitely his fault. And there was one that he completely got away with when he came out of his box for no apparent reason. So he once again ends a game in debt.
And he is, he's not a Spanish international, is he? He didn't actually get a cap, but I think he may have been in a squad.
He got one.
Right. So, yeah. He got one. I should trust myself. And he's also, he's like 15 years older than, well, he's not that much older, 14. He's a lot older than Meslier. And Meslier for all his mistakes, has also bailed us out plenty of times this season with good saves. And it's the opposite here, where he's so much older than Casey as well. Oliver Casey has, I think, as a young player making one of his first appearances in the first team, should have the right to make a mistake with that confidence that an experienced player who is on the pitch with him will sort it out for him. And in this case, it's the goalkeeper. And when that doesn't happen, there's no hope for young kids coming into a game like that, because there's nobody there helping them out.
If we are calling out experienced players as well, I think it was Calvin Phillips who got done for the first goal. Just was far too square, and he just went round the outside, round the right hand side of him.
First goal was a very good goal. He took Shackleton apart first, went two ways and beat Shackleton that way. Like I said, oh, I'm going this way, and then turned the other, and Shackleton was gone. And then he was through when he went past Phillips. I'd have to watch it again to see how badly.
I think Phillips just didn't expect him to actually try to go past him. No. I think he thought he was going to hold him up, and instead he just continued his momentum and went straight past him. And that first one, definitely not Kiko's fault, but still could have saved it. It was within the range where you can sometimes expect the goalkeeper to get a hand to it.
Meslier might have saved it. And I think the key then, I think you put that one more down, is that was a good goal by Crawley. Maybe came about, whether it came about because of our changes or not, but then we didn't That's the point I'm kind of making. We didn't get that calmness afterwards. There wasn't that period of, all right, keep the ball, pass it about a bit, no more. And if we did make a mistake, it just went straight in the net, which 2 minutes after we conceded one, it's a killer at that point.
We can't hang on to the bad feeling about this, can we?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it does matter.
It's the FA Cup.
On the one hand, you're correct because we can now concentrate on the league. Brilliant. We had said, you know, in the run-up to this, it'd be nice to have a cup run this year. But on the flip side of that,
we'll be lucky to avoid relegation based on that.
I mean, you know, yes, you would like to take the FA Cup seriously and have a run of it. But, you know, we're not the team bringing on fucking TV presenters, are we? So, fuck it. Don't care. It's annoying when we lose that badly and it looks that bad, but equally Hull didn't cause us any problems. We lost to Hull with a very similar sort of lineup, a very similar sort of performance, got knocked out of a competition that we would have liked to at least get some more games in so that players like Casey and Jenkins could get some more time on the pitch, and we just carried on and I haven't seen the table this weekend, but I think we're top of the Premier League. We've done well since. That's always the risk, because it was the risk of what happened with Sutton and what happened with Newport, that it derailed the season and everything's gone wrong. I don't think that we're going to have the next 10 games. They're not going to be Christiansen after Newport, and we're not going to end up with, we'll be 2 months from now welcoming fucking John Yems as our new manager. There's a Paul Heckingbottom style emergency appointment.
Rafinha didn't spit at anyone, did he?
No, as far as my, although he was trying to get the, he was trying to hurry that substitute off.
In the 92nd minute.
He just really fucking wants to win, Rafinha. I like it. But I mean, Alioski was having a bit of needle with somebody at the final whistle as well. So,
they care.
Pray that there was not any saliva exchanged, especially in current climate, which would make it work hard. Imagine if Saez had actually, you know, spread a deadly virus around when he did that. We probably would have had to get rid of him even sooner.
We normally pick heroes and villains at the end of this podcast, or speculatively set up some candidates for the main podcast in that department. Shall we bother?
Got plenty of villains.
All of them?
Yeah, go through the team sheet. Exclude anyone who's 21 or under, just for, I don't know, sympathy.
We don't want to shatter the confidence yet.
Exactly. Mark Wright's on it as well.
Just no.
Crawley Town as a concept.
Well, it looked bleak, didn't it?
We'll just, I hope we fucking withhold that, the game fees that they've been, John Yems has not been able to, I don't think he's been able to say a complete sentence without going, oh no, so it would be really nice if Leeds gave us the money. Yeah, it would have been. We said this to each other during the game, find a local charity in Crawley, give the money to them, fuck that football club off. That's what I feel. If there's a food bank in Crawley needs some money, then the whatever the match fees Leeds had that John Yems has been banging on about.
That is a proper dick move, is that? But one I'm right behind, because it can't be called out, can it? Because it's a really good magnanimous gesture, but it also sticks two fingers up at Yems.
Yeah.
Who's going to trade off this for years now?
Can I say how delighted I was that no Crawley fans got to see it?
Yes, that's good as well. Unless
I don't like it when you get non-league teams doing well in the FA Cup, because what you get is a really packed ground, which is normally half empty, of people all pretending they support Crawley, and they fucking don't. They support Arsenal, and they've gone to Crawley because they're playing Leeds. So I'm glad those people haven't had a nice day out.
And on the flip side of that, I'm glad that no Leeds fans were there to witness that either.
Yeah, it'd have been a wasted trip, wouldn't it? And I mean, well, we saw the photo from Bryn's travel lodge. I mean, no one needs to go to Crawley, do they?
It's the advantage of the game being behind closed doors is that nobody gets to see how bad Leeds United were. It just kind of, it stays within the Leeds United world and wasn't embarrassing for us in any kind of national context.
Yeah, in the same way that our promotion was in a roundabout way stolen from us because we weren't there to witness it, at least Crawley have had that stolen from them.
Yeah, and that is the one upside. The FA Cup run to victory this year might have been nice, but there was always going to be two things. One, you'd have Derby County fans saying, well, we would have won it if Wayne Rooney had been able to manage our third round match, but that's why the only reason why he won. And also that we wouldn't have been able to go to Wembley, because I don't think Wembley, the FA Cup final, is not going to have a crowd, is it? Or if it will, it will be very meagre. So it always would have been a little bit disappointing win.
It's an asterisk year, just like Liverpool's last year. Asterisk.
Yes. but whereas the championship was 100%.
That was legit.
So it always would have been a tinge of disappointment. So we'll just, I think that's why we're going to settle for qualifying for Europe rather than winning the Premier League this year, to set us up for the treble next season.
Bollocks, that, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Okay. Thanks for listening. You've made it this far. You've made it to the end, in fact, and we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.